Hey, this is Brian from Geek Pop. You can listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, on our website, geekpoppodcast.wordpress.com. You can also catch us streaming live on Twitch at geek_pop. And if you miss a stream, you can catch our past streams on YouTube at Geek Pop Podcast. Don't forget to like and share us on Facebook. Popping your geek every week.
New character came out in Overwatch with the fucking stupid, massive, cockamamie 5 hour. How long did your update take?
I don't know. I just kind of left Realistically. It on. It was like,
mine was hours.
Mine was hours too. I want to say it was at least 3 hours.
It was a long time, Lisa. Long time.
Mine was an hour and a half.
Lisa and I both, though, we put on our Netflix.
Yeah, well,
while we were downloading,
I knew
which
it
wasn't
was
the best
take
idea.
Take a while because it was a big download.
How large of a file?
It was reinstalling the game.
Yeah. Is this everything that Ash comes along with?
So apparently, when you build upon a game, you build patches over stuff, and you build basically it's almost a house of cards. You do programming to this and this, so this doesn't break, but if this breaks, you just kind of keep going over it. So, I think what happened is at this point, like they just ran to an area where it's like it's easier just to
wipe the slate clean,
kind of just give you the fresh code,
without the
patches, so to speak. That way, you're good to go. I think is basically what it came down to.
Yeah. So this was an unusually big update.
This is the biggest one I think they've ever had since the game's come out 2 years
ago. 2 years
ago. 2016, right?
Yeah.
16, 17,
May
18,
2016.
Three? Okay. So
it's normal. It happens to games.
Happens every once in a while.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened yet with consoles, I don't think, ever.
Not with a console game? No, I don't think so.
I don't think they usually update them much
point
past
being,
this point.
They put in a brand new character. She is sassy. I got to play with her for a little while. Lisa, you didn't get to play with her. Did you get to play with her?
I didn't.
You didn't play with her at all?
Not at all.
Oh, my God. So she is pretty fun. Her name is Ash. She has her double-barrel shotgun, her dynamite stick, which is kind of cool because you could throw it and let it detonate by itself, or you can throw it and then detonate it by shooting it with your gun, which I found exceedingly difficult. So I would just use my shotgun and explode it, and it gives fire damage, I think it is, because they're definitely on fire, though, to people. But she's fun. She's like a sniper, but it doesn't feel committed like, a Widowmaker, where you have that crosshair, and you're like, I got a headshot, motherfuckers. With her, it's like, I just got to shoot them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel as urgent.
I heard it's more of a mid-range fighter. So.
Yeah.
It's a hit scan.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, because her shots are pretty powerful. If you hit them in the body, it'll take like 3 shots, I think, to put someone down, I think. Wow, I didn't know no one else played her but me. She was pretty fun.
Yeah.
She's got a cool robot. All the best characters have robots.
She does have a pretty cool robot. Like he Luke runs Skywalker. Through and throws people in the air and then stops and shoots people.
Yeah.
Right now he feels a little overpowered, but I think it's just because we got to get used to it. Like every other fucking character that come in.
Probably.
And we're like, eh, it's too powerful.
Well, they got to let people figure it out for a while.
Exactly. I remember when Sombra came in, I'm like, there's no way they're going to keep her like this. She's too powerful. She can be invisible.
Yeah, if anything, I would say like Bob actually is the most controlled alt there is because you could do everything with it. You could sleep him.
Oh, can you?
Sleep him?
Yeah. He could everything that you could do to a normal character, you could do to Bob. Stun, sleep.
Freeze,
yeah.
Sexy.
Oh, yeah.
By the way. Welcome to Geek Pop. I don't know. Do you have it played it or downloaded it now? But I'm Big Chris.
Lisa.
Brian.
Enrique.
And welcome to Geek Pop. I know. It was a weird intro, but
we made it. We survived.
Beyond getting through that 3-4 hour fucking download for that game, she was pretty fun, man. So I highly recommend playing her. I don't know where she sits in the meta, but she's definitely fun to play right now.
You can't wait to try her.
Yeah. Go try her tonight.
Maybe. If people are on.
I wasn't looking at you. I was telling
you. It doesn't matter. I can't.
It's on you. I'm talking to you. Listening right now. okay, so we have huge news this week. It is something we've been preparing for, and we knew it was coming. And you never think it's going to happen when it happens, and it happened. But we did lose Stan Lee this past Monday? Been 2 days?
Yeah, yes. Monday.
Yeah, it was Veterans Day, actually.
The 12th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stan Lee, the grandfather of comic books, I guess you could say, the co-creator of some of the most arguably the well-known comic characters ever created.
Absolutely a legend, yeah.
Giving us, we wouldn't have modern pop culture without him. The ambassador of comic books, he passed away, man. I don't know the details beyond, like, he got sick and he was brought to the hospital and died. But he was 96?
95. 95. He was very close to 96. He would have turned 96 later this month. But yeah, I think, well, at the same time, you know, we knew for a while that, you know, because he had ceased doing some public, you know, appearances and stuff like that. We knew there was all the drama going on with his personal life. And but at the same time, like, you know, and we've talked about it before on Geek Pop, like in recent months, we could tell, you know, from the videos that had gotten out, he didn't have the energy to be keeping up with this anymore. They said in recent interviews that have been coming out aren't video recorded. It weren't video recorded anymore. He was getting very short of breath. But still, at the same time, like, the guy was a rock. You know, he was a nonagenarian, and you know, and still seemed, you know, lively and chipper as ever. You know, up until like you know, even as soon as a year ago. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, I he stopped doing his appearances. Really, I think we even all said when his wife died, like, that would it wouldn't be. That would longer, be one of the I don't want to sound so morbid about it, but after Joan left, like, it was very clear, like, he was having, and as anyone would, especially in their fucking their mid 90s, like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they were together over 60 years.
She left and he took a visible toll on him in his life. His inner circle went to fucking, I hate to say it, but it went to shit.
Mm-hmm.
He had turmoil with his, you know, his friends and his managers and his daughter. Reportedly, this is all allegedly, we don't know the details.
Yeah.
So his last year of his life was probably not the best that we want to remember him for, but yeah, the man, the legend, the Stan Lee, like, the day that comic dies, I'm going to call it, because boy, well, he just kind of took a lot with him.
At the very least, given that, you know, it's no secret anymore that his last couple of years were very tumultuous, and a lot of different lawsuits going on and everything. At the very least, I'm glad he's out of that, you know, he's out of that kind of suffering, because it was clearly taking a toll on him, you know, what was going on, you know. So
selfish, I'm just kind of selfish though. Yeah. You kind of want that pillar, that permanent fixture in our world to just kind of always be there.
Yeah.
And you know, I remember, like, it was yesterday, but it was 2 days ago. I couldn't fathom, like, the world continuing to spin. Like, it was just this thing. It's like, how do you fucking keep going when, like, this person who inspired movie makers and TV stars and, you know, everyone from the top to the bottom in entertainment has probably been affected by Stan Lee in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and he was one of the last original great, you know, creators of one of, you know, at least of the two largest comic book companies around. And you know, and you know, not enough can be said about, you know, Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko's contributions to co-creating Marvel as well, but Stan Lee, by being the public face of the company, he's the writer who really pushed forward, like, you know, a message of positivity and diversity
and equality
and, you know, his soapboxes on all his, you know,
soapboxes.
His
one of his soapboxes from the '60s has become relevant again to the racism thing. It's amazing people have been sharing it. One of the things I've always loved that he did it with his characters, which I, you know, whenever I try to create something, I try to do too, he's like, I always tore a little piece off myself and put it in that character. Dr. Doom, this angry man, and he wanted to protect himself from the world, so he put it as his armor. You know, like, and he always has these little analogies of how those characters are him.
Yeah.
Even the Stan, the Peter Parker character, which I think we've talked about before, kind of looks like a young fucking Stan Lee in a lot of ways.
And that's a lot of what propelled Marvel
ahead
of its time, not just, you know, socially, but also just as a successful company, because Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, you know, they were the two, you know, biggest, you know, creators of Marvel and everything, and they were coming at a time when DC was already on top for several, you know, decades. And DC's characters, at least at the time, tended to be much more stoic, much more
two-dimensional.
Like, yeah, much more two. And it's not like, you know, Marvel didn't have.
I love
too. Like, you
DC,
can't really relate to Tony Stark much, you know, much in the same way that you can to than you couldn't well, to Bruce Wayne.
I'm not gonna say a problem, but most of the characters in DC were perfect.
Yeah, and a lot of what Stan brought to the characters, and especially Steve Ditko as well, was and especially through Spider-Man is relatability. You know, like, Spider-Man, he's a kid who can barely pay the bills, and you know, and he's he's a guy that you could really relate to more than these archetype characters that had dominated comics. And then, and on top of that, with the creation of stuff like, you know, X-Men was such an allegory for any kind of oppression, you know, like oppressed social class. And the kind of topics that he tackled through characters that responded to such social changes in different ways between, you know, Charles Xavier and Magneto. That's a lot of what Stan Lee brought, you know, and I think it's a touch of
realism and flaw, which you need in your heroes to fucking relate. Like, as much as I love Clark Kent and even Hal Jordan, like, these people are, you know, they're like ace combat pilot and ace reporter and like. What is relatable there?
Yeah,
nothing really.
And a lot of that changed with DC over time too. Obviously, because there are plenty of other characters.
Had to.
They're like, oh shit, Marvel's killing us with their amazing fantasy book. Like,
yeah,
we got to get a piece of that. And that's kind of indicative of the back and forth between the two companies. Like, one would get popped or something, so that one or the other one would kind of emulate what's working.
Yeah.
And there's no shame in that.
Yeah.
But back to Stan Lee, it's just like this person is gone.
Yeah.
I think everyone. Everyone has a Stan Lee story.
Yeah.
I think. And, you know.
At least if you met him or whatnot, right?
Yeah.
Right,
Did you
get a chance to meet him?
No, I never got a chance to meet him. I only got to see him. Just at a distance and only.
Well, I mean,
still at the same time, like anytime he had those public appearances, I'm sure you saw if you saw him at any sort of public event,
the
guy had such a joy that he would bring to meeting fans, despite the fact that even, you know, and it wasn't always the case. Like, he often joked about how, you know, it was just so weird how nerd culture has exploded in his lifetime, because there was a time when, like, him being one of the heads and co-creators of Marvel was not even that really respected in the business world. And now it's like,
he said in his
twilight years.
He's often said he was embarrassed that he wrote comics for a long time.
Yeah, he always kind of thought, like, this is doing nothing important. And then over time, he realized, wow, this is really doing something important.
Yeah.
It's really reaching out to a lot of different generations of fans who really responded to what he was bringing to comics. And so it was... but at the same time, like, he was always joyous about, like, despite the fact that, like, I remember for years I would constantly, like, run into him at Comic-Con in the Marriott lobby where he was clearly staying. But every time he would go through that lobby, it was like an ever-increasing mob of fans. If Stan Lee comes to Comic-Con, he's like fucking Brad Pitt, you know? So it was just crazy how much of a mob it grew to be. But he was always smiles. You know, nobody ever had, like, you know, and you hear about that with any celebrity. Oh, they were probably having an off day, or they were being hounded by paparazzi. No. Stan Lee was always smiles. He was always overjoyous to meet with the, even if it got a little crazy. Like, he was always like even if you saw him at any one of those events, you felt like you felt like a connection to him. You know.
Yeah. No, I've been reading a lot of stories where like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that there's even moments where, like, he'll especially to children, like, he'll come up to them and like treat them as if, like, what they're doing, like, you know, what how their appreciation to comic is unique or whatnot. Like, I remember seeing a video where he's like kind of complimenting on this one little girl who was cosplaying
a Marvel hero.
Black Widow. Yeah, not Black Widow.
Squirrel Girl. Marvel hero. That's fine.
Yeah, it's Marvel hero. Yeah.
There are so many. I mean, he had his hand in so many creating. So
I forgot the name, the Falcon guy, but it was a female version of her.
The Falcon.
The Falcon.
Falcon. Thank you.
Yeah. Female Falcon.
I could not remember for some odd reason. Anyways,
you might be thinking, like, because it's just the Falcon. It's not like some
Falcon
adjective with it or anything.
Yes, but it was a little girl that was doing it, and I was
awesome.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. I mean, he was always overjoyous with his fans, and it was. You could tell. I mean, like, at least, you know, I think, like, you had met him as well, right? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
I got to talk to him for, I don't know, under a minute or so, when I took my picture with them.
Yeah.
And they didn't want me to. They didn't want me talking to Stan Lee. And then again, when he signed my Silver Surfer book for, I don't know, 30 seconds.
Right.
Oh, the Silver Surfer. And, you know, he had some kind of comment and it little stupid stuff, and I can remember thinking, just like, anything I tell this man is going to be so fanboy and so stupid. Like, I'm getting it in my chest right now, like that exciting feeling where I'm like,
sure,
you just want to tell him, like,
thanks for everything,
kind of. And you're like, Silver Surfer, it's a book you like, I feel like, I don't know if you guys remember the Saturday Night Live skit with Chris Farley where he interviewed one of the Beatles, and all he could be was like, hey, remember when you were at the Beatles? That was awesome. Like, that's what you feel like. Because, like, right. he's heard it.
Well, you're thinking, like, what could
times.
I tell him that you haven't heard 50
it's,
times today?
It's more than, you know, it's like, more like you want to have a connection with this incredible God amongst men.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, and he always kind of made you feel like he was talking to you.
Yeah. Well, he often, like, he would say in interviews particularly about, like, people always coming to him with essentially the same story.
Yeah.
But realizing, like, look, I'm sorry, but I just felt like I got to tell you about how important your comics were to me.
Yeah.
And even if it is the same story, he knows how important that is to that person every time. And, you know,
it is.
And so, like, you know, so he's not going to meet it with, like, oh, whatever. Like, he always meets it with, like, a that's great. You know, I'm glad, you know.
He made you feel like you. He was talking to you, not just like listening. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing. Like, and I don't know about you guys. I cried so much Monday. Oh, I cried. Right. My daughter didn't know what to do.
Yeah,
because she doesn't see me like that. So at one point, she went to the because I have my picture with them, and she brought him. She's like, and she brought me the picture. She's like, here you go, daddy. And she walked away, and I could hear her go to her mom. She's like, daddy's crying. I don't know what to do. And she goes, do you know who Stanley was? Right. She's like, yeah, I know he was dad's best friend. I started laughing, and I'm like, and I told her come here. And I had to, I had to re-explain to her. I'm like, you know what he did, right? He's like, yeah, Spider-Man, and a couple others. I can't explain like the importance of him enough, but like, it's just like this fucking weird void that's in your soul, and I can't shake it. I cried again today. I don't know if you guys saw. I was on Facebook, and there was someone. I don't want to choke up when I'm talking about it, but. Someone did a recreation. They just
the Toy Story one.
They pasted the heads of
Stan
and
Kevin
Feige on the end
of
Toy
Story
3. And he's going, here, Kevin, these are the toys I used to play with, and blah blah blah. And you know, he's saying, this is Falcon and Captain America.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, all the people who put up arts and stuff like that of this moment, it's beautiful.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, everyone has been touched by this man. Yeah. Everyone.
But his legacy will live on. I mean, it's not like, you know. Yes, he's gone, but he's always still going to kind of be there in a way.
Well, and especially considering how much he was a public face of this company for so long and how much, like, he was always, for anybody who grew up with Marvel Comics, he was always in our lives and to some extent, you know, at least, you know, our knowledge of him and at the same time, like, yeah, he was a rock. Like, he was a guy who made it, like, through so many different generations of fans. Yeah. He was there. He was lively. He was, you know, like, I was just at his, his birthday celebration last year. And, you know, that was for his 95th birthday. None of us had were expecting that to be his last, but it's just, you know, but just because he's, you know, even through recently losing, Joni, he was still lively as ever. So, like, I think that's a lot of why it's really hitting home. Like, you know, despite the fact that, you know, hell, he's older than the Queen, but
fucking
he's
ancient.
It's
like we got to have a touch of his lifetime. It's an amazing thing. It's like sad. He ended with us.
I mean, it's sad, but it's also one of those things like you happen to be around during his lifetime. Like there's an amazing beauty to that as well.
You know, it's exactly what I'm trying to put forward. It's like I knew his voice before I knew anything. Like I used to watch Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and he'd do the narration on that.
Oh yeah,
and you know, like, oh, Spider-Man is getting into it this time. You know, it's just like this thing, like you figure out, oh my God, he created him. He's doing the narrative. He was in our lifetime, and we got to be with him, so to speak, until the end of his life. And it's just this weird crossroad of existence. Like now we get to tell our kids and future generations, yeah, fucking that guy was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely,
he was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know what else can be said. Like, we could always list like what he created, but I think everyone knows what he's responsible for and the impact that he has on all pop culture.
But like, it really,
there's
is
two
like
things: George Lucas and Stan Lee. Whether you realize it or not, someone has been touched by Spider-Man or a comic book that he created.
Yeah, he's one of the last of the original greats. Really, I mean,
I think he is.
Like, yeah,
he's the last. He's the last. Kirby and Whitmacott are gone, right?
He's outlived Siegel and Shuster and Bob Kane and Bill Finger and Kirby and Ditko and Molson.
And he got to live long enough to see. He got lived long enough to see all his creations not be just appreciated by a minority of people.
Yeah,
and I don't mean a literal minority.
Right.
I mean a minority of comic book readers. Yeah. Now it's enjoyed by Lisa likes fucking the Avengers and you know what I mean? Like the cartoons and the just transcends all the media. Podcasts, we were just talking about Wolverine. Like, I know he didn't create Wolverine.
Yeah,
but
he's touched so many lives, like, in ways that, you know,
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. People don't want to realize. Yeah,
I don't want to. I don't want to choke up a crowd on the podcast because I think that would really ruin. So okay. We're gonna move on. Like I really just can't speak enough about Stan Lee, and I'm happy that he was. I think more than anything in our lifetime, yeah. I was glad I was able to see him at a comic convention. Like,
yeah,
cool.
Well, likewise. Know? Well, I was really lucky for me because I'd seen him tons of times. It was the first time I ever saw him that I actually got to meet him at a signing at Comic-Con. And I'll never forget
when you're like 12 or something.
I was 18.
It was so cool. I was like, oh my God, like, well,
I just got super lucky with that because it was my second Comic-Con. It was the first time for a full weekend. And I came so unprepared. I thought, oh, Stan Lee's doing a signing at 3 p.m. I'm just going to fucking show up at 3 p.m. and it's going to walk right up and get to meet the legend himself. And then I realized, oh no, this fucking massive line. And you have to get this specific thing that he'll only sign this. And they were only giving that out yesterday, and like it was my first time really learning what it takes to get Stanley's autograph.
Lisa and I got the luckiest, man. They sold us $50 signatures one time, although Lisa had to come back another weekend, but yeah. Still.
Well, this was back in 04. This was free, but you had to be like there at like, yeah, I think this was probably the last time that would have let you do that.
But the
last guy in line just happened to like have to leave, and so he gave me his photo, and I was like, so I got to be the last one.
Just got lucky because they overbooked him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that happens too.
Yeah. Well,
call that lucky.
For the price we got,
because
after that, I never saw one under like $85.
Yeah.
Even at that time.
To meet Stan?
Yeah.
Well,
$50.
It was for a signature or a picture. Then a picture, yeah.
Okay.
I got both. Twice, kind of.
Like, likewise, for free.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
But I was, I mean, yeah.
I don't mind.
I just got very lucky with that. Well, it's just, and it's also like I was worried because I was going to be I was literally the last person in line after this huge, massive crowd. So I thought but he was still super chipper. He even cracked a joke about my name and like, was like, hey, Brian Lee.
I mean,
we must be related.
When we saw him, like, he looked fucking tired. Like, I wanted to offer him a Coke, but, you know.
Yeah.
Last time I tried to do that, Todd McFarlane, they didn't give it to him.
Yeah.
Understandably, like I'm just a dude in the fucking line.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, because we were sitting.
No,
this was years ago.
Their view is like, what's this weirdo doing handing us this?
Well, I think it was more like, what'd you put in the drink?
That too.
Or what could you put in the drink? Because this was like back, we did the Shrine Convention.
Put something in Todd McFarlane's drink.
No, I didn't put anything in Todd McFarlane's drink. He was signing Spawn. Spawn 1 had just dropped. And we're like, well, fuck yeah, we're going to get Spawn 1 signed. And we were in line. Sure. And, you know, we must have been like the 400th, 500th person in line. Who knows? But he was clearly just like, barely signing these things and just looked tired. I'm like, man, he looks like he could use a Coke or something. I'm going to get him a Coke. And when I got him a Coke, I'm like, here you go, man. You look thirsty. And the guy, his manager, whoever took it and put it like behind him, like clearly he's not drinking this drink that I got. I'm like,
right.
Thanks, sir. And you walk away. But that was Todd McFarlane. I didn't get anything for Stan Lee, but he looked clearly tired, but he was still like, you know, he'd look up and he'd smile.
I mean, I can understand the, like, you know, don't drink this from a fan, but, like, still, it's like, come on.
It was a can of Coke.
Sealed.
It was a cold can of Coke. But
was it open?
No. Come on.
Then.
Well, then what are you going to put in it? It's like.
Exactly.
Kiss.
I mean.
I kissed Todd McFarlane.
Only.
I feel like also depending on like did Todd see it first or did
yes.
the okay because
I clearly handed
maybe
to him
he
as
like, Coke.
Like Spawn one hand Coke in the other
right
I'm like here you know
was he going to start drinking it but then the other
no he didn't
he
even
probably
reach
doesn't
for it.
Drink Coke
he reached for the book
yeah
I don't know if he reached but I think I had to place it in front of him because he was just he, you know
in signing mode
yeah. And I don't even know where that book is at this point and it wasn't even when I got him like this barely even looks like Todd McFarlane. I don't know why we got to Tom McFarlane.
I don't know.
Signing.
Good old Stan Lee, though.
Yeah.
What else can we say? I could literally spend an entire hour talking about this hero among, this god amongst gods.
Yeah.
Yeah, November 12th in my mind will always be the day that comics died. So let's move on, though. Let's bring the show back up and, you know, the show must go on. Stan will want it that way. He told me so.
That's true.
Good. I always adopted his motto, too. I've always said, like, this podcast could be someone's first podcast, and his famous line is always this every comic is someone's first comic.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm sad to see that he couldn't. You know, he was obviously wasn't around to see this sort of run of the films kind of close out. But
I think he saw the
next Avengers will.
I'm
be
almost
on,
not 100%. I'm pretty sure he saw the last cut of Avengers
sure.
or some kind.
And I'm
of
sure we'll see quite a few more of his cameos.
He's got four Marvel cameos from what I read,
yeah,
and a couple of other various ones. Like he's going to be in Ralph next weekend.
Yeah,
so Ralph.
Yeah, he's had a lot of you know, animated cameos because he was in Big Hero 6. He was in
which
in
blew
Teen
my
Titans
fucking
Go.
Mind. Oh, yeah.
Teen Titans Go.
I had to remind, I was reminding my daughter, like, remember he was like, I'm Stan Lee. I'm in the movie. And he's like, it's a DC movie.
Yeah. It's like, I don't care.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's a good memory. Okay, right. Let's move on to the next. Let's move on to the next one.
Okay, well, oh, man, I have to bring us back up. Okay,
Pika,
well, they released the trailer for Detective Pikachu. And
now, having seen this trailer, I'm kicking myself in the ass for not trying harder to go see it at one of the, because I was invited
I understand you guys
twice.
Like, yeah, the two early screenings of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
how early was this? Like, how long ago
was this? This one was just two, three weeks ago.
Okay.
Then the one before that was about a month and a half ago. Yeah.
Okay, I was curious about that just because, like, obviously it's a very effects-driven movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten that this was supposed to be a live-action one, for one thing. But
but I didn't.
Like Ryan.
I wasn't ready, Brian.
I wasn't either.
Neither was I either.
For some odd reason, I thought it was going to be more like a Roger Rabbit thing, but
cartoons,
cartoons,
yeah, like 2D, and live action. You
I guess none of us just really thought
I never
too
thought
much about
texture.
It.
And I thought it was going to be more kiddish,
or
if not
2D, and maybe a little bit more kind of like
less
Space
fluffy?
Jam, because Space Jam wasn't like obviously you don't it wasn't just cell animation, but Space Jam was a little bit of like a shaded kind of 3D shape to things, but like you're seeing these Pokemon fully realized as if they're in live action, and like Pikachu has fur.
Pikachu's softer than I ever thought Pikachu was.
Well, he's a fucking mouse. Like
I get that, but
understandable.
It's
weird
one of those
the first
things.
Time you ever saw him being soft and plushy.
I mean, I've seen him, and he doesn't look like sharp. But he doesn't look that fluffy to me.
I'm there with you that it seems it struck me as a little strange that he seemed like he had so much hair and stuff like that and fur. But then I thought like what? But he's supposed to be like an electric mouse.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it's just I don't know. Like because I've heard the argument say like you know like look
like Jigglypuff.
That one weirded me out.
Sure.
He looks like he's had a hard life.
I saw online somebody
saying
like
he's fluffier than I expected him to be as well.
I saw online somebody saying
that weirded me out at this thing. One of you named it Jigglypuff.
And the other one was Mr. Mime?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Mime feels completely appropriate in how I feel about Mr. Mime.
I saw a joke about Jigglypuff particularly about like, you know, I expected it to have fur and if it didn't like, what would you expect?
I thought he was cloudier. Like a cloud, not fur. That's how I'd explain it. He's like a contained cloud.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't know.
It was saying online, like if it didn't have fur, what would you expect it to be? Like a ball sack or something? But like,
I mean, skin.
Yeah, I don't know.
That wouldn't make much.
Like a fluffy cloud.
Hit the replay. I don't know. Seeing this, I'm like, I'm totally fine with everything that I saw in this trailer. As far as Pokemon go, they look fine.
Yeah.
Even I know some people like I know Lisa doesn't care for Ryan Reynolds, but I thought he was fine as Detective Pikachu.
Mm-hmm.
You can understand me. Like I thought that was pretty funny, and everyone else has seen him go Pika Pika.
Yeah, yeah. That's
which
cute.
Was the original voice actor, from what I understand.
Oh, that's even cuter.
That's even that's good. Yeah, it's kind of like a little bit of like that frog from WB, where like you know people don't know he's done
what he's
done.
Except he's dead. People think he's dead.
Michigan J. Frog is dead.
Yeah, everyone thinks the frog is dead, except for the person who keeps seeing him go, "Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey."
Oh, like,
and then someone comes in,
and
he's just like,
"I'm not dead." Just like
he's,
no,
they
he
think
just,
he's
no, he's
not
like
active.
He just ribbits and like he's just
he still ribbits. Yeah,
yeah.
Hmm.
He's just not singing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do I think he was dead?
Because like, he picks him up like as if he was like a dead thing and like kicks.
He
his
tries
feet
to make him dance.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, back to Pokemon.
Yes.
Mr. Mime does look kind of weird. I think everyone else looks pretty good. I think I like Justice Smith as an actor. He was in, hip-hop Netflix.
You're forgetting his greatest work in Jurassic World.
And I thought he was good in Jurassic World, too.
He was one of the better parts of it.
He was a better part, yes.
Sure,
okay.
Yeah, I did adore the part where Mr. Mime mimes a wall and they run into it. Like, I was like, what did you expect? Yeah. It was a wall. He clearly defined it for you.
I pushed people away. He's saying shove it. It was pretty good. Even Psyduck, who has an eternal headache, it looks pretty good. They have a...
Yeah, I didn't notice him until I watched the trailer again, and I was like, oh, he's in there. That's Psyduck!
It's what's her name's Pokemon, it looks like, because he's in all the ones with her. In her backpack.
I didn't notice that.
I watched it a couple times.
I saw him in, like, the woods and was just like... Yeah. Wait a minute, because I thought I saw him earlier. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's in the car with them. He's got those little pinhole
eyes. He's appropriately fluffy.
Oh, he's not fluffy.
He's pushed. He's feathery. A ducking.
He's feathery.
He's a duck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's feathered.
Birds
he's
a feathered.
I'm sorry.
So
he's a fluffy duck fluffy.
So it's kind of interesting.
Not a fluffy mouse fluffy.
I think Legendary, I think it was Legendary that did these. So they have some of the actual live action models. I don't know if you guys have seen those pop around. But they're really, 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 really fucking good.
Yeah.
And one of the things you can see on Psyduck is that he's got total feathers on him.
As he should.
As he should.
He's a duck.
He's a fucking duck. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was really unsure of this, but this I'm gonna see this for sure now.
Yeah.
This trailer is definitely gonna maybe you'll see it.
I'm leaning towards the yes.
Yeah,
to
I'm
see
gonna
this.
See this movie. Yeah. I'm totally gonna see this.
I'll see how it reviews.
Also, I've been seeing like a little bit of quirky stuff that they've been talking about the movie from like other press screenings or whatnot.
Yeah.
And like one of the things that kind of caught my attention, I kind of wanted to see how they play that out, is apparently Pikachu has a caffeine addiction. So he actually like really loves coffee.
Yeah, I think he loved it in the game, didn't he?
I don't know. I never played
the
game.
The Detective Pikachu, I think that was one of his, like, instead of, like,
his
doing
vices.
Those. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see that, like,
I think.
Played out.
I could be wrong.
That seems interesting to me. I don't know why.
I think the movie seems fun. Completely fun. Like, I don't know who doesn't want to go see live-action Pikachu. I mean, live-action Pokemon. Yeah. Besides Lisa.
I don't know. It's not enough to make me want to see it yet.
I get you. I mean, like, you need to see the actual...
I think everything in there is like, you either want to see this or you don't. There's like, there's no in between. You either want to go see Pokemon
or... in between.
You just want to see the story, right? You want to see
what
the story is about.
And it's not like it's a major change you have to make. It's not like you go out to every Pokemon movie or
anything.
No. Right?
I don't.
Every Pokemon movie?
I'm just saying, it's not like the movie needs to win her over.
No, there's not... I mean, everything you need to know is kind of right there. So I don't expect anything complex. You're gonna go see live action Pokemon, which I think is pretty fucking cool. And I like the actor, so
I'm surprised how well it works in live action. Although
I am too.
I'm there with you that the design still seems a little strange. It's just a strange thing to adapt to. Cause it's sort of like seeing Garfield when they finally put him like live action.
Yeah,
like,
that's not my Garfield.
Right. Yeah. Well, aside from the movies being terrible, but you know.
Yeah, I don't think he's a. They should have just stuck to cartoons on that. Anyway. Live action Pikachu or Pokemon movie, totally in. What else do we have, Chris? Oh, so
that's your name.
Yeah, that's my name too. So Disney has finally released the name of their streaming service, which is kind of genius. I think what they named it in its simplicity, it's called Disney Plus.
Yeah,
with the little plus sign, not
PL.
Actually,
I like the logo where it just shows a bit of that arc of the, the what do you call it, the
star.
Well, it's what they use on their logo, that kind of semicircle over the castle. And
the star.
It forms the plus. And it's congruous with, like, ESPN, which is also a Disney company. But ESPN Plus started recently, so it's like...
Oh,
at least,
I don't know. I didn't know that.
It said it in the article.
I don't do sports. This is a geek podcast.
Yes, but I'm saying, like, it's not
a podcast.
It's not that strange that they came out with that. And it fits with something they already did with ESPN, so, yeah.
So it's going to...
ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, they sort of...
No, I get what they're
Negatron
doing.
Negatron understands what you're saying. She just doesn't give a shit. Disney Plus, so that's the name of their series, their platform.
Yeah.
Of course, what I think we talked about last week, which is now a lost episode, was it last week or the week before? But they're going to have it's the beginning of their platform. So it's going to be Disney Plus, and then from there you get to go to like the Star Wars part of it and the Marvel part of it and I'd say animation, but I got to figure they're going to split up Pixar into...
Yeah, they said that said there was specific like five regions. It was Disney's own TV shows and movies, Marvel, Star Wars... Pixar, and then National Geographic.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, which is a 20th Century Fox property, but it's already just goes to show they're already planning ahead for when they finalize the deal.
Sure.
And that's huge with National Geographic. I guess also because of all the Disney nature stuff as well. They really want
to
push that.
I know they used to. I know they. I can't remember. I think the last movie they came out with, like, that was the Chimp movie, which was a couple years ago now.
I think it was. They did an orangutan one. Or
was
there's
an
orangutan one coming out.
I know they did a monkey one.
No, but there's
another one.
There's specifically an orangutan one, either coming out or came out last year.
But still, that could be huge for them to have a whole division of just
sure.
like nature related and documentaries and
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't love Planet Earth? Which I realize isn't National Geographic's, but
yeah,
it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, I guess that's because that's a lot of. Well, isn't that BBC?
Them too.
It's BBC.
Yeah. Because they're like Life, which is another BBC thing. Like, oh my god,
it was really good.
And who doesn't love Sigourney? Sigourney did, right?
Rewatch it, yeah.
Was Sigourney do that one? She did one of them.
Well, they had different ones because Attenborough did it, and Attenborough did it for the UK, and then I think Oprah did one of them.
That I don't remember. Anyway,
the US version. Anyways, yeah.
Disney has announced Disney Plus, and I think this next bit of news, I'm just going to hand it off to you, Brian.
Well, it's also a bit surprising considering like what the Disney Plus structure, because that's very different, a different approach than what
Netflix. Yeah.
Netflix, and I think Disney is realizing there's a lot of popularity with Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu and their structure about with everything being completely unified. But they're seeing a lot of ways that people find that frustrating too. So I think Disney, considering it has such a plethora of, you know, wide
it
swath
has
of,
everything.
Of stuff. Shit. Yes, exactly. They're like, let's try a different approach where, like, you log into Disney Plus and which section do you go to? Like,
so it's insanely interesting, insanely partly, I'm going to say smart, because initially we were like, oh my God, it's going to only cost a very cheap price. I think we understand why it's going to cost a cheap price, because it's going to be possibly a la carte, I think. Like, I don't know if you're going to be charged per branch or not. Which I can see, like, if it's $7.99 for the initial thing, and you get limited stuff, and then you know, an extra $2.99 for if you just want Star Wars or just want Marvel.
Yeah.
I can see that, because there are people that don't give a fuck about Star Wars, like Lisa. I mean, she likes it, but they're like, hey, here's a Star Wars show, you want to pay for it?
Like, am I going to pay for it? It depends on what they have, but for the most part, I'm not paying for this right now.
Well, you could hate Marvel, but like,
there
like
you go.
Pixar, but
sure.
Or like, you
so
know,
I don't know if they're
going to
experiment with that, and of course, they'll probably have an all-inclusive, like, hey, for $25 you can have all of them. And then you're like, but I don't want fucking National Geographic.
It could be interesting. Well, also considering that the different subsections, yeah, it could be like, yeah just sort
and
of
this
like,
this isn't. Let me go on record saying this isn't a thing.
No,
this is just me speculating.
Yeah.
Like, I can't for any other reason understand why they would split off different, you know, branches of their streaming service.
And even though that's
money.
Well, even though it goes to show this is still very early. Like, even
though it is
next year that it's going to be coming out.
Next year.
It is a little unusual that they're already announcing kind of like these little like that part of it will be devoted to National Geographic, which is something they don't even really have finalized yet, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, what else are they announcing?
Well, I guess, you know, under Star Wars, obviously, you know, one of the big flagship shows they're doing is the Mandalorian Jon Favreau show. They've officially announced, or maybe not
they've officially announced that they're in talks to finalize his contract.
We've already talked about Pedro Pascal, who is rumored to be, but the Pedro Pascal's casting did come straight from StarWars.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And also earlier today, Variety and the trades are all reporting that Gina Carano has also landed a role.
Which, when I saw this awesome news, I told Lisa, I'm like, I can't imagine, like, there's no other, like, I can't imagine another, female Mandalorian that they could get where I'd be like, she's a fucking Mandalorian.
I mean, I wanted her to be Wonder Woman.
Right.
After, especially she's after Haywire. Haywire is amazing.
And it's because Lisa was like, well, who the fuck is she? I'm like, well, I think the last thing you might have known her was she was in Deadpool, and she was also in Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious,
and
yeah.
She was, I think, Angel in Deadpool. She's the one that fought with Colossus to basically a standstill until Negasonic interfered and blew her up or something. But she is was she MMA? Is that what it was? Or
yes.
And it's MMA, okay. Mm-hmm. So she's an MMA fighter, a really good one, and she does action very well. If you've seen any of those last three movies, which she's been in more stuff, you know that she can do her fucking stunts, and she looks good doing them. And by good, I mean like she looks like she would kick all her asses at the
Absolutely.
Same time here.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's a lot to say. Sometimes I think I can beat up a bear, but you know,
but not her.
No way, dude.
Well, we don't know who she's playing in this, but there's no way. I mean, if you get Gina Carano, she's got to
be. I feel like she's got to be Mandalorian.
She's
got to
be some sort of warrior,
A waste of not Mandalorian if she's just in there being a senator.
She's imposing. She's got the skills.
She's a Mandalorian.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely. Even more so than the male star here.
I don't care.
And not a Mandalorian.
Fine. But she's going to be a Mandalorian.
Well,
because I don't think all the Mandalorians are going
to
be.
She could be an opponent. She could be who, like, Pedro Pascal has to fight. Maybe she is the Mandalorian and he's not.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't even know if Pedro Pascal is the Mandalorian,
but if he is, he better keep his helmet on this time.
Why?
Because, you know, what happened to Oberyn.
to Oberon?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm just saying,
if
Thor
Bjornsson,
gets cast in this, then he better keep that
then
helmet
yes,
on.
Absolutely.
I think he's already been cast, because I remember when that photo came out of Mandalorian, like,
yeah,
and they had lists of the possible people. I'm like, it looks like Pedro Pascal's, like, the way he walks.
He's got fingers.
Well, yes, he does.
His
got, like,
silhouette.
One head,
he has a very distinct silhouette if you watch
Pedro
his work.
Pascal?
Yeah. I know you're like, what? Because in Narcos, he wears cowboy pants and, like, those kind of weird small shirts.
It's a little bit of a stretch to be like, I know exactly what Pedro
silhouette?
Pascal
you
wearing Mandalorian armor would look like.
I think it's him. I think you could tell someone's silhouette.
It probably is.
Well, I mean, if they're in talks with him to star in it,
I think it's him.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to wager a guess that was not him.
It has to not be him.
Either
has to. Because they're in talks right now for him to star in it.
Or either has to, or that the main character, maybe the main character wears his helmet on, if not all the time, then most of the time. And maybe that was a stuntman.
She's got bad acne.
Because the same way, like, what's his name? Zachary Quinto was cast very late in Heroes Season 1, despite Siler having so much of a presence. But you never really got a clear view of his face until much later. And they were like, all right, well, so he was played by these, like, stand-ins up until then.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
who knows?
Possible. Yeah.
You know, maybe it's been stand-ins for the Mandalorian, but then Pedro Pascal is going to be stepping in for when he takes the helmet off at the end of the first episode.
They've been shooting this show already.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a stretch to be like it's further along than I think we even realize.
Oh, sure. But I think, like, also it could be interesting if, like, the Mandalorian, the title character, is something of, like, a Judge Dredd type of character where you...
Will he never take his helmet off?
Yeah, or something. Mm. Who knows? I mean, that's maybe. Just me speculating, but... But that they are announcing Pedro Pascal pretty late after they've already gotten all these set photos, which is all the more reason why when he was rumored, I was like, I'm just surprised there are no spy photos that have spoiled it yet. Mm-hmm. You know? Like,
because they're in talks with him right now.
Yeah. Or
he wasn't there.
Or with some other star who mm-hmm. would have cleared up that it's not Pedro Pascal.
And it could just been
like
a
Kurt
test.
Russell
it could have just been test footage or
it was most likely test footage.
Yeah. But I stand by my thing. Like, I think you could tell Pedro Pascal's silhouette.
All right.
100%.
Watch, it's Gina Carano.
That would be hilarious.
I would be happily like, oh shit, I was wrong. Like, and I don't give a fuck because I'm a fan of her. Like,
I
think she's great. Yeah. I'm with you. Like, when I remember that being a name thrown around for Wonder Woman. Like, fuck yeah, she could totally be an Amazon.
Well, especially when she started dating Henry Cavill and like,
I didn't know that
she's already dating Superman. Just you got your Wonder Woman right there. She's but then Gal Gadot was great. So
yeah. Awesomeness. Yeah. All right. What other shows?
So moving on to other Star Wars news within the same streaming service.
Yes.
So Disney Plus, like we haven't talked about it because one of the other series that they're doing for Disney Plus, or at least that Bob Iger confirmed that they're working on, is a Cassian Andor spinoff series. Or did we talk about it?
No, we haven't.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm so happy about this.
Yeah. So Cassian Andor, obviously with Diego Luna reprising him, and obviously it is going to be a prequel. Because, you know.
No, it's a sequel.
I think it's fine.
It's
just
because
if you haven't
just
seen Rogue One,
a Loki
it's a
series,
direct
doesn't
no.
mean that Loki's
this,
coming back.
It's
Loki's
Rogue
Loki's
One, everyone
back.
Dies. If you don't know that, yes. you are. I don't know what you're doing listening to this podcast. It's really weird. Why are you listening?
Like, we didn't have to say everybody. It could have just been like Cassian Andor.
Everyone dies.
I'm sorry to spoil that for
everyone
you.
Dies.
Nuh-uh, not everyone. Vader's in the movie. He doesn't die.
That's right.
Leia's in the movie. She doesn't die. Yep. Not
wow,
everyone
spoil,
dies in this movie.
Way to spoil the end of the movie, Lisa.
Even welcome. Leia's father survives.
Yeah.
Even though he dies
yes.
A few hours later.
By the way, I...
sorry.
Upon hearing this news, because Rogue One is one of my favorite Star Wars movies. It absolutely
it's
is.
It's, in my opinion, the best one of the Disney era.
It is. That's not even a... Yeah. That's
it's
not even
fact.
A fact. Yeah. I rewatched it again after hearing about this news and loved it even more. And I remember you were like, yeah, what about the R2 and 3PO? Why are they there? And then I thought about
it. Well, yeah, that bugs me.
Okay.
I mean, it's not perfect.
No. Well, I thought about it. And I'm like, well, because the senator was still there because they hadn't left on the ship yet for the witch.
It's perfectly fine that they're there. I just think it's just it felt very shoehorned in that let's cut the camera to R2 and 3PO and have 3PO have a line here. You know, if he didn't know
it
3PO,
been
which who doesn't know 3PO?
1,000% better
be
if they would have just saw, like, if they would have showed them like they did, almost like Chopper. What, they just would have saw the ships going in without 3PO being like, oh, dear.
Yeah, Chopper didn't do anything. He just strolled on by. Nobody was like, what the fuck is this droid that it's focusing on?
Well, he did
on
his little... which was kind of cool.
Yeah, but that's not distracting to anybody.
No, not at all.
Who Chopper is, and like, not why at is all. The movie spending all this time on this background droid?
That's still one of my favorite. I love so much of that movie, but yes, Diego Luna is, I thought he was a great character. He was one of the most, I don't want to say real characters, but he was a very, like, real character.
Of all the great characters that come out of Rogue One, Cassian is definitely one of the best ones, especially considering like the layers to him. Like I love that he's not, you know, and
he's a real soldier.
Yeah, considering Star Wars is chock full of, you know, at least morally
more high ground,
black
and
white characters, you know. It's nice when you get like it was such a breath of fresh air to have like a character like DJ
guy,
for example, in the Last Jedi, when he just says like, you know you're wrong, maybe, you know, like it's nice.
No,
to
he was a good character. A lot of people didn't like him. Like, he got paid. Like, he
and Cassian especially too. We know like he's one of the
he's
stars
a
of
good
the movie.
Guy.
We know he's supposed to be a good guy. The
but
first scene we see him, he kills a guy just because he's like
he's going to slow him down and get caught.
Yeah, exactly.
He's doing it for the cause.
Yeah, a guy who just gave him important information that's going to save the rebellion. Just shot him, you know,
and obviously they had some kind of history because they know each other, and but he pops him and he's ready to go kill Galen later in the movie. And even at the end of the movie, he's like, look, I've done shit that I'm not proud of. Let's make this
count.
Yeah,
dude. I mean, I was just rewatching it too. And I love that line where, where, you know, obviously at that point in the movie, you're on Jin's side. You're like, dude, this guy is just fucking blindly following these orders to kill Jin's father. Even though he has every reason to disobey them. But then the way he just fires back at Jin, like, look, you have no right. Like, I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old. You know, like you know that he has so much history behind him
being a rebel
without even really having to see it, knowing that he has to make these kind of
he's a
great
good
decisions, you know,
character.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's a treat that we get to see fucking more of him.
Yeah.
And obviously I think this goes without say, Lisa. I don't know if you hate that or not.
He clearly survived.
K2 is probably going to be, this is where K2 gets to come back probably.
Yes.
And Alan who didn't Tudyk love Alan Tudyk?
Yeah.
That's true. Oh.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You are being rescued.
It could even be kind of like a story about how he finds and reprograms K2 or something. That could be kind of.
Did you know that wasn't me? Like he is.
You're right.
Best.
I should have stayed on the ship.
It was some of the best lines in the fucking in the movie.
Cassian said, "I have to."
Yeah, I was actually physically upset when he died. I was like, "Oh,
yeah."
He didn't die in my mind. Like I made him.
I know you get that.
I think I told you guys.
Oh, the theory that he's in that other drawer.
I mean, I loved him so much. I made up another canon where he's like, he put himself into the other drawer, and the
you
other
know
drawer
what?
Got away.
You know what? It's probably going to become canon. Just like Darth Maul and Boba Fett and any character that's popular enough, they'll just fucking bring them back.
So on the back end of that, like, I've always been like kind of like, really, he survived that? But at the same time, like,
Cassian?
Really, he survived? No.
K2.
Darth Vader. Or Darth
Maul?
Maul.
Darth Maul.
So I was like, I was always pissed that he got cut in half and died. And then when they brought him back, I'm like, all right, whatever. I love Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Like at first, you're like, this doesn't taste very good,
honest,
but he's bad.
But I'll accept
that,
it.
But
no,
like,
fine.
You know, because I think they've done great stories with him. Obviously,
amazing
bringing
stories.
Back. I'd still just
like
still
it outweighs
like
that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I still read that death in Episode One. It's like, I mean. I mean, it's
pretty defiant.
It's like the Boba Fett debate. Like, obviously, you know, Lucasfilm in the old canon.
Yeah, but you
had
didn't see Boba Fett get chopped in half with
his
fucking.
Well, that's the thing, George Lucas.
That's quite
if he asked, and George Lucas like really stoked a lot of fires to the other side because he had come out and said like, no, as far as I'm concerned,
Boba Fett
died in Return of the Jedi. But at least you know you didn't see anything other than he rolled into the Sarlacc and it burped.
And
you know,
that's
like,
one thing you gotta always
ate him.
You gotta always love about George. He's like, if someone came up with a story that was pretty good, he'd be like.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think what George did to Darth Maul in Episode One is a lot more definitive than what happened to Boba Fett.
Yes.
And I understand Darth Maul is a Zabrak. He's not human, and maybe he didn't have any important
organs
that were
there,
cut in half. But he was cut in half. It wasn't like he just lost his legs. He lost his
ass. Yeah, but
ass.
I mean, it was all contained.
He lost his ass.
The man
he lost
can't
his
shit
dick.
Anymore.
Right. And
he lost presumably half his stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need your whole stomach. Come on.
No, I agree. And the fact that he's like, he survived like just by hate. I'm like, that's.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. That feels a lot like myself sometimes.
I mean, but that's, I guess, a lot of the reason why people who like, yes, they were kind of aware that Darth Maul was brought back in the canon and stuff like that. I think that's why they were, a lot of people were really shocked by Solo going like, what the fuck? He got cut in half. or at least some people were thinking.
No,
like,
no.
I know there were some
people
thinking it might
be pre-episode
one.
My parents didn't know any of that.
Of what?
Yeah. That Darth Maul came back and everything, and they were like, "Huh?" Cut in half. And I was like, "Well, they brought him back in this, so they're actually acknowledging that he came back." Like that was like the coolest thing out of that movie, and yet I hated it at the same time because I was like, "You're confirming that he's okay." Like, I love this.
He was
there. But why are we doing this here?
And there is no way, by the way, that the Mandalorian doesn't feature Boba Fett in some way. They're bringing him back. There's no way.
It's okay.
What?
You don't do a show about the Mandalorians and about the legacy of Boba Fett and Jango Fett. Like the first sentence of the premise of the show, the official premise, mentions, you know, Jango Fett and Boba Fett and their legacy and what have you.
Well, let's not kid ourselves. Obviously, Boba probably fucked other space alien people,
sure.
and there's probably a Mandalorian baby Boba somewhere
and
or
we'll
two.
Mention that just because obviously they're the only two Mandalorians in the movies.
I mean, he's the most badass bounty. You know, he got tail. Probably, literally.
But he
there's
was
probably
in...
plenty aliens with tails.
But he was probably
he got him.
But he was into Han Solo. I believe the Robot Chicken version of this, where Boba Fett was into Han Solo and only into Han Solo because Han never gave him the time of day.
I am totally fine with accepting that as canon.
I love
where
it.
He's
it's
being
the
all creepy
thing.
On the frozen Han.
Yes.
I don't know. It, obviously, being pansexual in the Star Wars universe makes more sense than not. But
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Say not. I don't know. Either way, Diego Luna in the new Star Wars
Cassian
series.
Cassian is
going to
be
awesome. I'm so happy.
Well,
for
also
this.
One thing I'm kind of a little worried about because Cassian is also has a bit. Yeah, he has that arc in Rogue One. We're going to meet him even before that. So the show. Like, so I'm a little worried, but also intrigued by the notion that it can really even get to like more moral gray area with him because it, you know, he may not be a full fledged rebel yet.
Well, he was clearly going through that already in Rebels.
Yeah,
I mean. Ooh, I said what I was thinking.
Obviously,
in,
they can't
in,
go too far
Rogue,
back either
but
because they're using Diego
sure.
Luna. They can't.
Well, I'm hoping that we get to run into fucking, you know, General Syndulla or more Chopper.
Oh,
or,
that'd be cool. A live action, like live action Rebels.
Yes, which I don't see why they wouldn't because Dave Filoni has his finger in the Mandalorian.
Ashley Eckstein could be Ahsoka. Well,
she wouldn't be Ahsoka, but sure she would.
Yeah. Oh, well, no, she would have.
Mm-hmm.
Because
she's,
Rogue
she's
One
a fulcrum.
That's right, because everything in Rebels already happened. Because Rogue One is like, well, actually, well,
do you want me to tell you what happened to the end of Rebels?
Well, you know, not yet.
So at the end, okay. Then let's move on.
Either way, like, it works out timeline.
It'll work out.
Yeah.
Let's move on, Lise.
All right. So shortly before we started recording, Disney released the trailer for Dumbo.
The original animated classic?
No, the Tim Burton version.
I'm going to tell you, it got me choked up.
Yeah. Oh, it did too. It did. They definitely
hit
showed
the right notes.
The this right scene, at least for me, to get me choked up.
They had
up,
me hooked
quite a lot more too. Like, we got like a teaser trailer that basically showed like nothing but the song. And
yeah.
It was good. It worked for me
it
too.
It was great, yeah.
The beginning of this trailer has like, it had me from the beginning because, you know, some kids come in to see Dumbo and they have Timothy, which I was like, where the fuck is Timothy? And
that's
they also,
what you've been saying.
Timothy is, I think, an integral part of Dumbo in the original movie.
It's really the first confirmation of any other animal other than Dumbo, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they also have the magic feather in the first 10 seconds of this trailer. The rest of it is standard Dumbo stuff and some of it not so standard. And Lisa and I both noticed at the end of the trailer that Dumbo's one of Dumbo's keepers, Colin Farrell is missing an arm.
Yes,
we don't know if he's missing an arm the whole trailer.
He becomes the lizard.
Maybe.
It is Disney.
Too bad it's not Sony. But see, he has two arms right there, Lisa. So he, at some
no,
point,
no, I know. He has. We watched it again and realized he had
two arms
in the beginning of the trailer.
Oh,
and at the end, he has
one arm.
So in the course of the movie, whatever happened to Nick Fury, he also happened to him. They were there together.
Yeah.
They showed the pink elephants. They showed Dumbo in his clown makeup. It's pretty great.
Oh,
if you ask
I'm
me.
Even thinking like maybe he gets injured by Dumbo's mother or something, or
possibly
and she takes his arm off.
There's also
well, that be
pretty
a little
big fire
for an elephant to do.
His
but,
arm off.
But I mean,
I think that's
obviously
the case because the scene where you see him
right
with two arms.
Oh, okay.
It's the scene where the mother's being taken away. Or
okay.
So I don't think that's the case.
Okay, because that'd
maybe
be really
Dumbo
gruesome,
rips his arms off, and this is a completely new Dumbo.
Well, because Dumbo's mother got I mean, it was more just that she had just rampaged and
yes because the kid they're manhandling Dumbo
mm-hmm.
I think Chris said it, I think what happened with the arm is probably the fire. There's a scene where there's a lot of fire, so
okay.
Possibly.
I mean obviously they're fleshing out
maybe
these human characters. I mean there weren't really
No, they
human
were
characters as present in
not
the original Dumbo,
not
but
that you wanted to care about.
But this is a. I mean, it's interesting considering like the, this trailer. Mm-hmm. It's quite a long trailer. It gives us quite a bit of a taste of the movie. It also kind of seems to reconfirm or at least reaffirm that it may well be that the animals don't have any dialogue, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
Which is fine because guess what? Dumbo didn't talk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, so, like, I think it's perfectly fine to essentially the animal characters. Yeah. And the humans essentially are a bit of the analog of the other side animal characters, you know.
It was Timothy for most of the movie. You know, the other animals talked a little bit, the other elephants mainly. But it was Timothy mostly that talked to Dumbo. So it was never Dumbo being like, oh, I don't like this. It was Timothy going, boy, I see you sad there, Dumbo. Don't worry. We're going to come up with a better plan. the whole movie, more or less.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And the crows, which I don't see them in here, which it irks me because like they're characters of black people of the 1930s.
It's fine to leave them. But I mean, for all the people saying like, oh, my God, you can't. Leave them out. No, you perfectly can. They're outdated stereotypes.
They have literally the best song in the movie.
That's true.
Yes.
Baby Mine.
No.
I've been dancing about ever since when I see an elephant fly.
That doesn't say though that the song's not in there.
No,
absolutely.
Could
be Danny DeVito there. Could sing it.
Because as much as they're much as they're bad characters, racist characters. By today's standards, they're racist characters of black
racial
people.
Racial stereotype.
Yeah,
That's a better word. And they probably wouldn't fly
a
today.
Play on the whole Jim Crow thing, and obviously,
sure.
You know,
but they were good characters. That's the sucky thing about saying that. But good characters, I don't mean like, oh, they were right on spot. They're like, growing up as a kid, I didn't know that they're meant to mock black people, and I always thought of them as just these crow characters.
But elements of them, including the song and things that aren't essentially part of that
stereotype,
can certainly be worked into the other characters, which I think is what all these other people are doing there.
But obviously in this movie, they don't need talking crows that sing them a song.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just brought it up because they were, for me, one of the not fair parts of the movie, but like what they represented when he could fly.
It's been one of the biggest questions looming over this movie. It's how are you going to adapt it if you're going to adapt it?
I feel like he probably just won't touch it. But
The song will probably be there, though.
Hopefully.
I wouldn't be too surprised because you're right. It's an iconic song. But
I think they have it on the attraction at Disneyland, Disney World. Like when you're on the track, the Dumbo ride, you know, you can fly. No, wait, that was Peter Pan.
They're clearly driving home over and over. Baby Mine is in this movie. So I think there's going to be a few other kind of musical references.
Well, there's only two songs in the movie that I really remember. Well, three including, four including, okay. Right. So there's
there's
the opening with, you know, Casey Jr.'s coming down the track, but they already did that in the Casey Jr. ride, so I don't see why they would use that.
Yeah.
And there's the other one where they, hee-ho, when they're putting up the tents in the rain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which I guess isn't really much of a song, but it's definitely a piece of the movie
they
that
can
is.
Expand it too.
Anyway,
it could be like the Lion
listen
King.
Listen to us. This is a trailer for Dumbo, and we're fucking like geeking out over it. Well, maybe not all of us, but it's still pretty awesome.
It looks great.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
Chris, what do we
Lisa,
have?
Lisa, I feel like Ridley Scott is threatening me personally.
He is. He is.
Can
he's like,
be
Chris,
stopped?
I'm going to fucking make another Alien movie whether you fucking like
he's
it or not.
He's threatening the world with
you should
this.
Get a restraining order.
Jesus Christ.
Just to save the rest of us.
So Ridley Scott is still not shutting up. He's like, oh, don't worry. We've got some stuff written up or we're writing it up for the next Alien movie that I have no green light for. Apparently he's going to go, we're going to go back to the planet.
Yeah, how is he still talking about... I mean, because he's basically talking about all this without there being really any forward momentum from the studio.
Well, before Alien Covenant, he was talking about how, wasn't it like a 6-movie arc or something
I feel like it was a 4-3. It might have been.
A 50-movie arc? I don't remember anymore.
It felt like he was trying to outdo James Cameron.
It was ridiculous.
he had a plan for things we don't care about.
Yeah, and...
What it boils down to, like he was really interested in these engineers that people found out after the first movie no one gave a shit about and we didn't want to see him. And then I don't know if you guys saw the second one. It was better, but it was still like, stupid.
Well, even after all that you're mentioning about, that Lisa's mentioning about all the other Alien movies that he wanted to do, that's coming after like plans changed for the Prometheus trilogy. And, you know, like like everything keeps like...
Well, yeah. Well, I really think changing. He got scared when Neil Blomkamp...
Yeah.
Blomkamp,
thank you.
Not Blumpkin.
Blumpkin's where I'm concerned.
That's going to forever infect
me. I know. When he came up with ideas for it and shared it with the world and people were like, fuck yes, this is what we want to, this is the path we want to go down with aliens, let's go there.
But Ridley Scott
got really scared and was like, fuck, I can't do that. All right, I'm going to make this amazing thing and everyone's going to love it and they're going to forget all about what Neil did.
So the
and
sucky
instead,
thing,
everyone hated what he did.
I didn't hate it, but...
And we still don't care about what he's doing. And we just want to go somewhere that
doesn't
involve him.
It doesn't taste good what he's doing. And I here's the thing I do appreciate for that he's doing that I don't think anyone realizes about this. He's expanding the alien universe. It's not every movie. It's like a fucking Jason movie. You know what I mean? Like, that obviously can't continue. He's expanded the universe to include
space.
I mean, he's given us more to think about than just like a scary alien in a confined space.
Yeah.
Which is the alien franchise needed. Clearly, we can't just have a xenomorph running around a spaceship every fucking movie, because I'm not going to go see that anymore.
To be honest, it's one of the things I actually kind of found refreshing about Prometheus, despite its many problems.
I've always said Prometheus is a decent sci-fi movie.
Well, sort of no xenomorphs.
Yeah. It's not a good alien movie, but it's a decent sci-fi movie.
Yeah. Well,
I tend to say it's the first alien movie,
but not a good alien movie.
Just redone again.
Well, I also think it's a very just intriguing first part of a larger piece that was never finished, because clearly there was a lot that he wanted to put into Prometheus.
He really
that
hung
he just
his
saved for the sequel that never happened.
Really hung his hat on David, which I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. But
maybe
there was a
really
lot that he
Michael
wrote
Fassbender
for the final scene with the dude that wakes up and the original
the engineer.
Yeah, there was a lot written for that there was supposed to be this whole thing that the engineer was supposed to say that was going to get translated and everything. And he basically saved a lot of that, and
he should have left it all on the fucking floor, and then that's a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth. Anyway, Alien, he's threatening us with another Alien movie, which I don't think it'll get made, especially with the Sigourney plugging Blumkoff again. Like last month. He's like, Blumkin. Oh yeah, well don't
we
count
can
him
get
out
his name right.
Don't count it out, like it still could happen. Anyway, we gotta keep moving.
Well, you know what else he's also trying to ruin too? Well, I mean, I shouldn't say trying
Gladiator
to ruin.
Short Circuit.
Yeah, he's finally moving forward on Gladiator 2. Oh. Which is actually something he's been trying to do for
a long
time.
He gets a lot of passes for me because he did invent Alien, so to speak. And not invent him, but he gave us Alien.
Dude, he gave us Alien.
He's done a lot of good
amazing
too.
Amazing stuff, like
Blade Runner, and even like
what was when he just came out. Fucking
Martian.
I love the Martian.
Fucking love the Martian,
yeah.
Dude,
I even love some of his smaller. Like a lot of people forget. Matchstick Men. I love that movie to death. That was
okay.
I mean, it wasn't shit. If not that movie, at
Chris
the very least, like
it's a callback to
No
One.
People think Ridley Scott, they think all the big budget movies, obviously, and
he did a lot of
not all of them, obviously, because like
amazing
Exodus,
stuff.
It was that whitewashed Moses movie, maybe.
Sure.
But then, I mean, like he's done a lot of
people
smaller
like
films
Gladiator.
Too.
It won Academy Award.
Gladiator's great
too.
That's why I don't want him to make a
people
sequel.
Like it.
Cause,
yeah.
I mean,
Chris
fucking.
Like
I guess you don't. Oh, that's right.
It's
yeah.
fine. It's just not like I.
Are you
whenever
about
it's
the
not
movie
shit.
About Lucius,
about Lucius,
supposedly about Lucius.
Oh, number two.
Which is sort of like which is better than at least because there was like a time when Ridley Scott was involved with like a sequel
one,
that would
right?
have brought Maximus back.
Yeah,
from the underworld. Which, like, I would have fucking loved that. I'm like,
you,
what?
Really?
You threw a left fucking turn when you were going right. That's
but
amazing.
There was nothing mystical about Gladiator. That's one of the things that was great about
and
it.
And that's
like,
what's great about a sequel. You can do whatever
I
the
disagree.
Fuck you want.
It's like, oh,
disagree,
the gods are all real. Anyway.
Quite a
they
few parts.
Dream sequences.
Yeah, thank you. There's quite a few points where he's like, I shoot my family.
And
yeah,
he, you know, he's got the wheat,
I mean,
and he's touching.
Oh, is that what you
and
thought?
Walking.
I mean,
okay.
But that's part of what's great.
I
about
took
that,
it as
is
mysticism.
That you can read it as like it's you know obviously it coincides with his religious beliefs, and
sure.
he reads them as real visions. But you know, we as a viewer, you could even look at it as you know, as like you know, he's just
him on the
that's
brink
not
of
what
death.
The movie's about. Yeah, the movie's not about the.
It's
mysticism.
About him getting to his family.
Yeah, you know, sure, and you can look
Kratos,
at it as like a figurative kind of.
No, literal, not figurative, literal. Anyway, we got to keep moving. Lisa, what else do we have? All right,
so Netflix is doing a bunch of things, and two of those things that we're going to highlight is there are two animes coming out. One is Pacific Rim.
Yay!
And it's going to be returning to the epic battle of Kaiju and Yagers. And this original anime series will expand upon the story of the first two live-action movies
cool.
and follow two siblings, a boy and a girl, and they are going to pilot a Yager, which sounds
Yager.
Sounds awesome. Don't care.
I'm with you.
Sure. Don't care.
I'm with you. Also sounds
like,
good.
You're kind of breezing over why they're doing all this, but sure.
We'll get there. And what was the other thing? I'm breezing over it, and we're also a little low on time, which is why I'm breezing.
What's the other thing?
The second thing is Altered Carbon.
Wait a minute. They're going to make an anime out of it?
They're making an anime out of it. I don't know if they're doing that in lieu of like a second season.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if it's going to follow the same main character
as the Netflix series. I think that character should be retired. So not retired, well, but done after this. I loved Altered Carbon.
A different actor for that character or for that character specifically?
You could. I feel like that character ended in a really good place. Character, not the actor. Okay. And with such a good world that they've already created with it, I don't think you need to follow. What's his name? What's the actor's name? I can't think of his name, but
the actor.
I don't think you need to follow that guy's character anymore. Okay. I think you could totally do an entire world that they've set up in this, you know, story in this world that they set up. It's great. They have a whole fucking world that I'm totally okay to play with, from the AI hotel to the
Poe.
Yeah, to the religious implications of living again and again, quotation marks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I need an anime. I think it works so good as live action. Like, it looks so beautiful.
Oh, it did. I think it can work as an anime, too, in a way that
it can.
With the Matrix, then they did the Animatrix kind of in between the next Matrix films.
Sure.
And those were shorter stories, but something in the vein of that I think would be really cool.
It could work. What was the point you wanted to you're like,
Lisa? Well, no, because I haven't seen Altered Carbon, so obviously you guys are...
What? Throw something at Brian.
I mean, it's interesting because I hadn't figured that portion of it, too.
It's really good.
Well, because...
And it looks... It feels like... make you feel like you're watching the Blade Runner's brother.
Yeah.
Who's also popular.
It's like playing in Blade Runner's world, but not...
And who's to say this anime series, considering that it's obviously anime and not live action, you know, it's going to be a separate thing within that same universe. It doesn't have to be a continuation.
No, you're right.
Yeah, and it doesn't say either way.
Yeah, so
it's
even
just
if,
set in the same universe.
Yeah.
But they do Neo, like Neo Future so well. Like, you're like, Blade Runner is the bar, right? Like, for Neo Los Angeles type of the future feeling, neon, high. But this does the same
Blade
thing,
Runner,
but
I
like
mean, Blade Runner
equally as good.
Was so influential to basically that entire genre in
yes.
anime kind of rose.
So if you like that, if you like that genre, if you like that look, you're gonna jizz when you see Altered Carbon. Like I
did.
I mean, you're gonna have to come out like, Brian, clean the fucking TV, dick. And it's just that he's like, well, I'll clean up my own mess. Thank you very much.
It's really good. I obviously got to check it out. Like,
I'm not overhyping it.
I wasn't looking at it on that angle. I was just happy that Netflix is doing this, because Netflix, this is part of a major push that Netflix is doing because they're globalizing. This was it was part of what they announced in their first ever showcase in Asia. Because basically Netflix has a huge Asian audience, and ironically all around the Pacific Rim, there are countries there are all sorts of, you know, Asian countries that have thriving entertainment industries. So Netflix is doing a big push, including these two shows, to do a whole bunch of different collaborations with Japanese companies, with Thai companies, with Korean companies.
Yeah, because I think they're doing a Korean soap opera too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
which
those are
huge.
Yeah, so what they've already done recently is Sacred Games, which is an Indian show, an anime series, Devilman Crybaby, and then Busted, that Korean variety comedy show.
What's it called?
Busted.
I want to watch it. This is a lot of stuff that they're putting forward, and
we
benefit with the Pacific Rim and Altered Carbon, which I know you guys didn't care for the second Pacific Rim, but I dug it. I thought it was fun.
I dug it too. I certainly think there's a lot of potential with it as in anime form too. And
agreed.
These are only two of quite a few titles that they announced. Like, it was because there's Pacific Rim, Altered Carbon. Cajaster of the Insect Cage. I'm not sure.
I don't know. A lot of these are going to go over a lot of people's heads.
It's done by by the same, you know, studios that did Afro Samurai and Hellsing and
cool.
You know, there's a whole bunch of different ones. I mean, they listed a whole, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Go check it out. We have the article on our site. Yeah. I mean, it's good news for us. It's good news for everyone.
I mean, yeah, a lot of this cross pollinating with a lot of these different Asian companies. So I think that's cool.
Awesome, Enrique. What else do you?
Well, apparently it's still the 1990s because Prima Games barely is closing their doors.
I think they're
still the 90s. Have they been? I think they're. I mean, they're pretty relevant.
No, I'm just saying, like, as in, like, I'm surprised that this company was still around all the way till now.
So even when I worked at GameStop in the mid aughts, strategy guides were still. You bought a game, and if there's a strategy guide, you probably picked that up too. Most people did that. Mm-hmm. I can remember tons of games that people bought the two of them with, myself included. Like, I wouldn't have gotten through every single boss without and I don't know if it was Prima. Yeah,
I agree.
But, in Final Fantasy VII or even one of the Pokemon games, I think I picked up a couple of them. If you go into GameStop,
I've never picked one up.
I picked up
a strategy guide.
Yeah.
I always thought it was, and I'm not dissing you intentionally, but you miss out on some of the game without some of these strategy guides. You squeeze every bit of your game out with.
With Final Fantasy VII because I wanted to find every single little thing.
I did buy
one of the Prima guides for that.
I don't know if it's Prima, but
I think it was Prima with the Final Fantasy.
You're like 1990s. I think the strategy guides were still. Even though they're analog, an extremely useful tool in this day and age. Even though now, like, I would never buy one.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like nowadays, it's
but
everything's online.
I feel like there's still a market where there's like some 6-year-old that like gets Spider-Man and was like, "Here's a strategy guide, kid." You know what I mean?
When I was reading about this, I was kind of thinking like, "There's no way that strategy guides would sell the way that they once
used to." No.
Well, given that we're not. now in the information age and everything, right. I was kind of looking into it, just kind of wondering if Prima Games had made the jump onto online, and they certainly did as well. But obviously, that's not going to make them the same kind of money that they obviously once did.
And for a while, they tried to make you go online with their strategy guides.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if it was Prima. I don't know if it was Prima, but there's a, I think it was for Final Fantasy, whatever, the one with Vivi. Which was that? Nine?
Oh, nine, yeah.
Okay. So they would have like, okay, so this is the tip. For more information on this tip, go to our website the book. So you have to go to the website, even though you had the physical book
but
in your hand.
But I paid for the book.
Believe me, it cheesed me off.
Wow, that sucks. But I...
But at the time, they were trying to promote their page to get you to go to their page, which I imagine someday they've been like, hey, you want the full strategy guide for this? Like, subscribe to our site.
But I
assume.
They've made some really good strategy guides just in general because I think they've got some pretty good sets for Zelda, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably.
Because I've contemplated buying the Zelda sets just because they're gorgeous.
Well, it's handy. Even in this day and age, I think it's handy. Like, you brought up Zelda. How fucking handy would it be just to have, like, a poster of a sort of part of the overworld to be like, to look up and be like, all right, I'm right there, without having to whip out your phone. I think it's a pretty
I don't know. I have the map in game, and that never. I don't know. I know maps.
Lisa.
I learn maps.
Megatron.
So that's one of those things that's never been a thing for me. Like, I almost know
binders of maps
everywhere I'm going in Red Dead Redemption. Yeah.
Cool.
But
based
yeah.
off the map.
But those are all stuff that you can find online for free now.
Yeah,
I was gonna say like every time when I wanted to find something like specifically in a game and find out a secret or whatnot, I just look up a YouTube clip now.
Yeah.
So
I don't even like looking up the clips. I rather have it written.
Sure.
Because the clips usually don't have
game
exactly
communities
what I need.
On stuff like Reddit and stuff like that. You can find people who just like list it out for you. I mean, people they help each other out with the games, for free. Because so it's an end of an era.
I understand why they were closing their doors now. But
I can remember penning out strategy guides too. Like if we had a bunch left over at the store and they were no longer like
useful.
Like I think when I moved, I threw away two or three boxes of fucking strategy guides that we pennied out, and I'm like, well, I'll take them.
Right.
And it's like Streets of LA and fucking Grand Theft 3 and shit like that, which, those are a long time ago. I don't know. Good stuff. Prima, it is an MMR. Who cares, though?
But, I mean, it had to.
Apparently end. You care.
Yeah.
Someone care. You put it in the show.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, moving along to our final story, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So, we have some Star Trek news. Obviously, we know that Jean-Luc Picard will be returning in his own official series for CBS All Access.
Sure.
But Deadline is also reporting that Michelle Yeoh is in talks to reprise her Discovery role of Captain Georgiou, or Captain / Emperor Georgiou, in her own standalone series, which could be interesting because then you might have the question, wait, but Captain Georgiou is dead.
I don't know. I haven't seen the series. I think a lot of people haven't seen the show.
Spoilers for the beginning of Discovery.
It would be kind of.
Yes. But if you've been following along the show, Captain Georgiou is dead. But as you know, in Star Trek universes, there are other universes.
There are multiple universes.
The Mirrorverse.
Yes. So, so they could continue with where they're going with. At least Michelle Yeoh's version of the
Mirror
Universe character.
They absolutely can do that.
They could also, but obviously they could also go back in time too and tell about her, the Prime Universe version of her as well. So, I mean, I'm just saying that's all we know is that Michelle Yeoh is in talks to reprise her role. It probably seems
anything,
more in line that
they would continue
with what they're doing with the Mirror Universe version of her.
Of what they've done.
It just makes me
hope
that one day they actually make these things free.
Oh, for CBS.
Or available on like Netflix
or
something.
What about like the Twilight Zone too? It's gonna be on there.
Twilight Zone and Star Trek is not enough to make me pay whatever.
But what about if you just did a month?
No.
And just binged it all real quick.
Did you hear that the Twilight Zone? All they're doing is just remaking old episodes.
I think we. It's a shame. I feel like we have to put up last week's episode because it didn't get put out.
We're having connection issues.
We're gonna try and put that out as a lost episode of it in the next couple of weeks. Maybe we'll put it.
I mean, I think. It could be interesting with them, obviously just more Star Trek shows. It's just really great that they're, for a while we weren't even sure if they were going to come back to the silver screen at all. And now it sounds like we got three different shows in some form of either being done or in some form of development.
To get me to go on, I might check out the Picard if the series sounds interesting enough. But as of right now, I don't feel like, how much is it? Anyone?
$12, for CBS All Access? I think. But I don't know for certain, but it's around $12.
Something like that. But yeah, I mean, I think
for two shows, that is not worth my money.
Well, that's why I say do it a month or two at a time, and then it could be worth your money.
Sure, you never know.
Yeah.
No, I know right now it's not worth my money. I'm saying it's not worth my money.
Yeah. But I mean, this is still in any case, this is obviously the early talks. She's reportedly in talks, but obviously she's in high demand, and she's got She's got a sequel to Crazy Rich Asians, which is that's probably going to be taking her.
This will put their count up to what, four shows that we know of for Star Trek.
Yeah, because there's the Picard one, there's this one, there's Discovery
animated.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
And to answer your earlier question, it's $5.99 with limited commercials, and $9.99 with commercial free.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
Per month.
That's not so bad.
Yeah.
I'll wait till Picard comes out. At that time, they'll jack it up another $5. Anyway, okay. That was...
That's Patrick Stewart money. Come on.
that's Patrick
this is
Stewart
so we can
money.
Keep him.
Shut up, Lisa.
It goes directly to him and only to
it
him.
Pays for his bedroom slippers.
Probably. They're very nice slippers.
Yeah, sure.
I've seen them on Instagram. So, that was Geek Poffin this week. I'm Big Chris.
Lisa.
Brian.
Oh, thank you.
And your geek has been popped. Just been popped. The show's over. Go home.